Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts. Bryce Holdaway, co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's Lifestyle Channel, and Ben Kingsley, Chair of Property Investment Professionals of Australia and the 2014 and 2015 Property Investment Advisor of the Year.
All right, folks, you're on the Property Couch. Rich, week, Ben and I bring you the Insider's Guide to Property Investing. Hello, mate.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Very good. Hey, right. It's a big weekend.
Well, more than a big weekend, I'm really excited.
Oh?
Yeah. I've found new real estate agent markets.
Oh?
Unbelievable. But I'll tell you more about it in my session later on. But I have found some
brand new
real estate agent markets. So you'll hear it first on the Property Couch.
Mate, I'm pumped. Let's get straight to, did you know? Can we go straight to the end?
No, we're not going to do it. So what did you want to say? Oh, this weekend, yes, we've got the expo.
We have. For Melbourne listeners, here's the shout out. Come and say g'day. We want to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want to meet you. Ben's speaking on tomorrow, Friday the 24th of February.
Opening the show.
Yeah.
Straight after the Treasurer.
Mate.
I've got to talk straight after the Treasurer.
The State Treasurer or the Federal?
No, the Federal Treasurer. Scotty Morrison.
I didn't know that.
So we've got a video. So it's the topic is how do we tackle housing affordability in Melbourne?
Mm.
Well, you know my views on that. So stay tuned, people.
Rewind two episodes, yeah.
But I'll be talking about, you know, how regulation can help improve property affordability.
There you go, folks. The headline act is Scott Morrison and Ben Kingsley.
No, that's not true. Scotty's the man.
11 a.m, stage one. What are you talking about? Well, housing affordability, you said that.
Yep.
Stage two, me, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
So if anyone wants a long lunch break, come and have a listen.
Yeah, what have we got?
How to win 2000, book title.
Book title.
How do you actually do 2000 a week?
Talk to the book.
Live case studies. And then stage three, it looks like you're playing games.
Yes, the game of property investing.
Right.
So I'll be talking about the game of property investing.
Intriguing.
And then Friday. Yep.
But the...
And Saturday.
The Saturday. 11 a.m.
Yep.
Stage two, live audience participation recording of the Property Couch to be pre-recorded for next week.
Fantastic. And who have we got on?
Effie Zahos.
From?
The Money Magazine.
Oh, we're going to the top.
Effie has been around for a long time.
She's still very young. She started working when she was three.
That's a good point. But she has been around at the Money Magazine, leading that public... Australia's...
And the old
arguably,
Money Show.
Yeah,
she was
arguably Australia's
in the
premier magazine. So you,
yes.
Me and Effie.
Yes.
She'll be the rose between two thorns. We're talking about the top five... Money Magazine covers ever.
So it's one, any of them else?
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to come along. We're going to talk about all the takeaways from those top five, and there's lots of cool takeaways to be had.
Beautiful.
And then you're talking again on Saturday at 1:30.
Game of property investing. Beautiful.
And then I am on Sunday at 12:30.
Beautiful. Doing the live build again?
I'm doing the live build.
How to build a $2,000 a week passive income.
So a little tip. I've got the most overqualified assistant in the history of presentations.
Who's helping you? You got Popey?
I've asked you to help me.
Oh, great.
I've asked you to help me.
No pressure.
Very kind.
So if I crash the simulator?
Yeah.
All right.
But I question anyone who's ever been up on stage that's had the calibre of you assisting on the side.
And so, I won't say a word. I won't interrupt you once, I promise.
We'll see. So there you go, folks. And to make it even easier for you, go to thepropertycouch.com.au. Somewhere there on the homepage, I was somewhere easy to find. There's free tickets.
Free tickets.
Go to free stuff. There's
free
a thing
for me.
While you're there, download Money Smarts, but get some free tickets to come along. So it's going to cost you nothing to come and see us, which will be super cool. Hey, mate, how good was last week? Summers was in the house.
You know what? I actually re-listened to the episode. The first one ever. I listened to both of them again. There was that much gold in there that I had to listen to them again. So I was, if you haven't checked out Jan Summers' two-part, we've got to get her on again. I'm just sitting there going,
how many people have reached out to us and said amazing gold? So for those of you who, A, have listened to the podcast for the first time today, that's a must. We normally say go back to episode one.
Yeah, we do.
But we've got a slight deviation. Go back to last week's episode and just listen to that.
Been there, done that.
Because how many people have been, as there you go, folks, you sort of heard Ivers chuckling in the background. How many people have been in this industry for 5 minutes and how many people have been in the industry for 45 years.
Well, been investing. So not just investing. So she
investing.
Was impartial, independent property investor, her and Ian, gone the journey, done the thing, multi-million dollar
delay property gratification portfolio. Pay down debt. She wasn't flashy at all.
No.
She built the whole portfolio in Brisbane.
Very hands-on, so very DIY. Very hands-on.
That was the mistake. She was expecting her to say, "I'll pull a loan structure." She said, "I've got the concreting wrong."
Yeah. But that she did go out and buy those holiday apartments, so she was honest about that.
Yeah,
so,
she was very honest.
Yeah, look, well, hopefully one day we'll get her on again. She's lovely, and yeah, it was terrific stuff.
So we're going to talk today about how to lose money in property, because she's the antithesis of Jan. Jan is how to make money in property. We're going to talk about how to lose. So we're going to come up and see if we can riff a few ideas if we can come up with some stuff. But in the meantime, mindset minute.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Mindset what we got?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Focus.
You ready?
I'm focused.
It had long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things.
Ooh, who said that?
That's Leonardo da Vinci. Ah. So I thought that was appropriate today because...
Is he the one that painted upside down on the roof?
At the...
Sistine Chapel?
Sistine Chapel, I think.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
I'm not very cultured, so I just
get my artists mixed up, you know? So, but yeah, he's cool.
But
went blind, didn't he? Got too much paint in his eye.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch...
Oh, sorry.
I thought that was appropriate because Jan Summers went out and happened to things... Yeah. She didn't let things sit back and let things happen. And I just thought that's really, really appropriate given the backdrop. We're in the shadows of her episode because the people who are go-getters are the ones that actually make things happen. And like Jan said, they don't worry about who's the President of the United States, who's the Prime Minister, what the tax regime is.
Ask not what the country can do for you, but what you can do. So get out there and do it type thing. Yeah, yeah. I like it.
That's the pain this morning, is it? I mean, you're on the happy gas? It's good, mate. I encourage it. I love it.
So can I just...
Of course.
Am I allowed to elaborate?
Yeah.
So the other part to that is if you aren't sure and you can't do it and you're a bit scared, get help. Get professional help.
But that's
I'll put my pimper hat on.
Correct.
Still going out there and doing something, but don't think you can't do it because you've got to do it all alone and you've got to get your 10,000 hours of expertise. Don't. You know, there's some professionals out there who can help you.
Very good. So, and a quick mindset minute update.
Okay.
Remember how I said motivation is what gets you started and habits what keeps you going?
Yeah.
Just so you know, day 53 of the 10 push-ups.
Oh, no. So see,
you've spoiled it for
me. Do you remember how you mocked me?
Mate, I was going to
Remember how you mocked me and laughed?
I was going to laugh.
I had 100 in my diary to come and ask you when you got to 100.
I'll be there.
Are you doing more than 10?
There's a couple that I did. Oh, I see the upward inflection on 10. You're still mocking. So, yes, they have done occasional 15 and 20, but, mate, it's the habit.
Mate, I'm looking at your chest. I'm going, you're huge. You're big for the beach.
Now you're low. All right, folks.
It's very good.
I think I'm the only one who takes this seriously. So.
No, I love
it. The guitar I'm doing on average every second night. Just saying.
Oh,
just good. Saying, 10 minutes a night. So,
very good.
Continue to mock, but you got it in your diary day 100. I'll have done 1,000 push-ups and you'll have done none.
I'm envious. I'm totally envious.
All right.
Should I do a push-up now?
I'm going to get you back. Here we go. Gay Waterhouse. Everyone knows who Gay Waterhouse is.
Yes.
She's the famous trainer of Melbourne Cup winning jockeys and horses, and she's just royalty. Right?
But we don't know whether this is her.
Well, mate, you don't preempt it. This is my segment. Sorry. You don't preempt it.
I'll step over here. I'll just go a bit far
right. Chase for Tim. Thanks to our listeners, we have beat Tim. So mental high fives to all our listeners.
Where's my little blower?
Gay Waterhouse. So now, let's be honest. We don't know if it is the real Gay Waterhouse.
Yes, we don't.
But for all intensive purposes, it is
yep.
for this one. This is 5-star review, thank you. If you have any interest in real estate, then you must listen to this podcast. These guys unpack, in capital letters.
Love it.
So much gold, in capital letters. So I'd suggest we probably say that a fair bit. Week in and week out that it would be foolish not to listen to them.
Mm.
Here's the kicker.
Ooh.
It would also be foolish to listen to them to learn new languages.
Sorry about that, Guy. Yes, not very good with my international
little cheap
tongue.
Shot back at you, mate. Yeah. So there you go. Mindset minute today. It had long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things.
Don't row into the shore, row out to the boat. Beautiful. Love it. All good stuff.
I can see this.
All right, here we go.
Come on, mate. Give us...
So you ask a question.
Back to serious. How do people lose money?
Well, I think the biggest thing is poor location.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're asking me what is the big thing that, you know, asset selection, our ABCD, asset selection starts at the top, and I think that's the case. You've heard us always talk about that the location does 80% of the heavy lifting. So in real terms, it's important to understand that you've got to buy in the right location. And, you know, what separates the right location from the wrong location is a combination of all the things we talk about, which is the amenity, the human interest and human behaviour story. So the practicality reasons, you know, the buyer's decision quadrants, it's getting your headspace into, so headspace into how an owner-occupier buys, you know, as owner-occupier appeal. If you can get those things right and you overlay that with demand and supply and you have a look at those types of elements, you are going to more often than not get yourself the right location. But when you do get the wrong location, what happens? You're sitting on a dud investment, you're paying interest on it usually because you've got to borrow money, and you're sitting there waiting going, is this thing going to improve or not? So there's a massive opportunity cost that we've got to consider associated with that as well. So for me, I reckon that's my number one.
Mm.
It's come straight off the top of my head in regards to getting the location wrong.
Yeah, no, I hear, mate. I 100% agree with that. One of my properties is on the Gold Coast, and it's been on life support for 10 years. Good news is there's a bit of life,
You've hung in there.
Yeah, so opportunity costs has cost me a lot of money holding that one, where other markets have done really well. So I'd agree with that. I reckon for me, one of the ones is when you sell property too soon. So too short a perspective.
Yeah,
because
it's a bit of impatience.
Yeah, it's too costly to get in, costly to get out.
Yep.
And I think that some of the television shows don't help with that.
Well, they need an outcome, don't they? They need, as you say to me, they need a bit of jeopardy, and then they need an outcome.
Well, you've caught on. You're creating jeopardy. We can't wait for your segment at the end.
Oh, but, mate, new real estate agent markets. Yes. Unbelievably exciting.
Bring it on. Yeah, so you've got to have a 10-year perspective.
Yep.
And
minimum. Yep.
And for you to get benefit, because there's no linear growth in property. And quite often, you know, think about the stuff that we've been buying from people who, two stories, we've been buying stuff in Brisbane, we've been buying stuff in Adelaide, we've been buying stuff in some of these markets that haven't been going great over the last 10 years. And we've been buying it from people with a price similar to what they paid back in 2009.
Well, mate, I was listening to John Symes on Ross Greenwood the other day, and he's talking up Adelaide. Adelaide's going really well. We've been buying there.
Well, we've been there for a little while, John. It's good. Come and listen.
Keep talking it up. All of our clients are doing pretty well in that old market. Now, can I expand on that? Because I think it's really important.
Is there an option for me to say no?
All right, I'll get them the next one, shall I?
Of course you can.
All right. So what's going to happen in the Sydney market and a bit of the Melbourne market as well is there's, you know, in terms of selling too soon, it's also got another, you know, sort of challenging part to it at the moment, because we're seeing young couples extend themselves to their maximum borrowing power to try and get that house and land package out in the burbs.
Mm.
They haven't even factored in their kids yet.
No.
So, you know, that they're stretched themselves and then going to go down to one salary. Now, you know, from that point of view, if I talk about the 10-year minimum, this is where there's going to be opportunity in the next 3 or 4 years, you know, in terms of how it's looking. So it's really important to make sure that you can hold it for that period of time, because so many people make that mistake of not being able to hold on to it because of financial reasons. And because we bang on about this all the time, but it's a very expensive asset to acquire, stamp duty, professional fees, whatever, and then to get rid of as well. So, you know, there can be red on the balance sheet if you don't get it right, and we want you to be in the black. So the longer you can hold it, the more reliable it is. And when we're, you know, when we've got our professional hats on and we're advising clients and we're doing some modelling, so these are people who want to plan out their portfolio, we say if we can't model holding onto that property for 10 years, then we won't put it in, okay? Because, you know, even with the best research, you can still potentially get it wrong. Like there's still risks that we don't necessarily see coming. So, but usually through holding it for a longer period, you can actually, you know, sort of taper some of those risks associated with it as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what have we said? Choosing a poor location and selling too soon.
Okay, well, my next one off the top of my head is overcapitalizing.
Mm.
So in terms of people who, I'm doing it right now, with my own home, we're renovating at the moment. Now, I always say to people, you know, I work 80 hours a week. My wife and I had a 5-year goal of, you know, building our dream home. And that dream home is probably going to be a couple hundred thousand dollars over what I would think, you know, if we had to sell it in a distressed market. So that's the only exception to the rule. It's not an investment. This is our forever home.
It's an investment in a lifestyle, mate.
Correct.
It's an investment in...
Correct.
in Jane Kingsley.
So I'm guilty of it, a bit like, you know, you were saying before about the Gold Coast. I'm guilty of putting a bit... Now, if I hold this for 20 or 30 years, that's going to be, again, absorbed in terms of the market will find its value. So, but when people are renovating and they get seduced by those TV shows, the reality is that some of them spend 50 and get it revalued at 50. So it's you know, a great rule of thumb is for every dollar you renovate, you want to get $2 back.
Mm.
And you want to do that before you start. So you want to look at the comparable properties that you're trying to match that have recently sold in the last 6 months within a kilometre of your property, like for like. So don't try and tell me a weatherboards are similar to a brick. Don't try and tell me that a townhouse is similar to a flat. They're different assets, so you've got to try and get like for like, and then you can work out what that one sold for and what you can potentially put in there. And obviously the best and the cheapest way to add value to a property is paint, not doing too much structural
stuff. Yeah, it's actually easier said than done to go and do a renovation and not be seduced by the feeling of, you know, oh, let's get this taps and let's get these tiles and let's get this sort of floors. And to overcapitalize is really, really easy to do. The other thing to keep in mind, Ben, is that, and it's not often thought about, that it's a very sophisticated market in the bigger capital cities.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think they can make a lot of money renovating in the areas close in that we want to buy. But, but it's not as if someone who buys, call it a two-bedroom apartment and they renovate it, there's not a premium that's placed on that because the person next door is prepared to say, well, actually, I can buy the 1970s original kitchen. I can do it myself. Whereas if you go a bit further out...
Oh, you're making a great point here.
You often get better upside because you'll get more land, you get more upside, you can push the house out, you can add rooms, you can add bedrooms, and you can do more bang for buck. So the renovation can be done... the profit can be made on day one from the renovation, but then the long game of holding the asset's not as good as holding it in. So that's often not thought about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you think about the television shows, they're getting sponsored products, they're getting free labour.
Oh, totally.
And they're loading the reserves. So, because remember that, I don't know if you watched the book, there was one season where no one made anything.
That was the one in Richmond or something.
Yeah, correct.
And so, I have to know what goes on, but I don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed by that. That was about four or five ago.
Yeah, I just know what goes on, but I don't watch
it. So, thinking that there's instant dollar, our good friend Jane Slack Smith is the Reno Queen, that there's instant cash to be made just because you're renovating is a quick way to lose money.
And again, here I go again elaborating on that point. What about when they promote it as a renovator's delight? So those people who want to buy closer in, you know, get all excited, but it creates more demand, more buying demand. So you end up paying the price that it's going to be worth once you've actually, because of the competition at auction or whatever it may be, especially for those closer in properties. So be mindful of that. You know, everyone wants that doer-upper because they can add value and it's affordable for them to get in. So they get really annoyed when it actually sells for what the renovated price is going to be. And you've done all that research and put all that time and effort into find, and you just get knocked out the water. So
there are four advantages of renovating, Ben. Add value, improve the yield, increase the depreciation, and the stamp duty savings because you bought it in at this price and you've improved it.
Mate, say them again.
But there's no guarantee that you're going to add the value in the sophisticated market. So it's adding value.
Yep.
Improving the yield.
Yep.
Now I'm under pressure. Stamp duty considerations and improving and the depreciation. You create your own depreciation. Correct. We're often saying don't buy depreciation, create it yourself. That's the way you can do it. But the point being that you raised is overcapitalizing. Renovation is not a way, it's often a way to lose money in property. Done rightly, it's a beautiful strategy.
Yep.
But I've seen so many people do it wrong.
All the good news stories hit the magazines and the press, not necessarily the hundreds of the bad ones, just the few good ones.
Mm.
Agreed.
I reckon, again, it's potentially pretty obvious for those long-term listeners of the podcast, buying the wrong property. So the obvious ones for us, we there's no surprise our views on off the plan and house and land. But what about properties that the banks don't like? And you think, well, what is that? Under 50 square metres.
Mm.
Quite often the bank don't like under 50 square metres. They don't like serviced accommodation. They don't like holiday lets. They don't like serviced apartments. And so I always say that, sure, off the plan, house and land, you know, people get that now from listening to us. But make sure you're buying a property that banks like. They're such a big player in the whole exercise. Don't tick them off.
Yep. Flood zones. They don't like high voltage power lines. They don't like strata or company titles in some marketplaces. So absolutely 100% true is that if you're buying a property that is going to then limit the number of people who can repurchase that property down the track. You're taking out a third of the market or half the market of your buyers. I mean, you know, we caught up with Brad Teal this week from Brad Teal Real Estate, and he was talking about some of those stratum title properties and the challenges he had is that, you know, for some of those properties, the banks will only lend 80%. Mm. So he's already wiped out some of his first home buyer markets who can't save up a 20% deposit.
Mm.
So that's hearing it from the coalface, from one of the, you know, the best selling agents in that area, to tell us who's, you know, 40-odd years
42 years. 42 Remember years. I said 30 and he emailed me back, he said, don't undersell me, it's 42
years and Brad Teal Real Estate's been around for 30 years. So that's getting, you know, information at the source that obviously, you know, allows us and validates what we talk about here on the podcast.
So there you go, folks. Remember that property investing is a game of finance. Mm. Owner-occupier is a game of bricks and mortar.
Yep.
Property investing is a game of finance. So don't buy properties that banks don't like because you'll lose money.
Okay, I'm thinking about this speech that I'm doing tomorrow and I'm talking about regulation, right? Mm. So I'm trying to say that regulation can improve the number of property investors who are coming into the market. In other words, dampen, because there's two things that happen when the market's moving. Spruikers are everywhere, property spruikers are everywhere, and so are speculators. And so I reckon, you know, you don't get into property for a get-rich-quick point of view.
Mm.
So if you want to speculate in property and you are speculating at the wrong time in the market, you know, be greedy when others are fearful, be fearful when others are greedy. So if you're going to follow the market now and you potentially come into the market, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. More people lose money in speculating on property than they do in, I think, any, well, maybe shares. You know, there's probably a few day traders who have gone into CFDs and a few other things in their time and have been caught out. So it's absolutely important that property isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. And for all of the 1% of the stories that you hear, there's so many more stories that you basically don't hear about where people are losing money. Because let's face it, at the dinner party, not everyone wants to talk about their failures. They want to talk about their successes, don't they? You mentioned that in one of your other podcasts in terms of mindful minute. Is that right? Minute mindful?
Mindset minute.
Mindset minute.
You were paying attention during that
session.
You
were talking about,
I used to work at the casino at the Burswood in Perth when I was at uni, because I'm a Perth boy.
Yes.
And I used to always like find it interesting. I'd be dealing cards at 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, I'd see people coming through. Like they'd come through on a Saturday night and then I'd see them on a Tuesday night and they'd have 3 days of growth, look like they hadn't been there. But it's interesting, they'd always be telling me, because it gets a bit boring, you know, at times. Just,
well, 3 a.m. in the morning.
3 a.m. in the morning.
I'm sure you want to be somewhere else.
Well, it didn't knock off till 4, see? So you had to get through that last hour.
Last hour.
They'd tell me about the wins, right?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking...
You're sitting there going, I was just saying you dropped 500.
Yeah. So I'm not interested in the $100 win when you net 400 down. So so it's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
All right, I'm going to go, my next one is loan structure, poor loan structure.
Yeah,
and I'm going to go opportunity cost here because there are a lot of costs. If you cross collateralize and you go to an investment savvy mortgage broker and they've got to fix the structure, it's going to cost you. So that's the obvious costs.
Yep.
But for me, opportunity cost, because I think I've told this on the podcast before. I remember many moons ago, when I was on the show, I used to be working in Brisbane and I had a guy who, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but he had about $3.5 million worth of assets and about $1.8 million worth of debt, and so there's plenty of equity that he could have accessed, and they were with one bank, all cross collateralized, and they said, look, our risk profile suggests we won't lend you any more money. So therefore, not getting in the market was actually because he had this huge intention, he had this huge capacity, and wasn't able to do it. So for me, poor loan structure is, there's obvious costs at the coalface, but for me, opportunity costs. You'll lose money
totally
if you have that wrong.
Look, and this is a moving feast at the moment. I mean, you know, the stability around credit policy at the moment is really, really challenging. So you're absolutely going to see situations where the skill and knowledge skill of your advisor, your mortgage broker, your investment savvy mortgage broker is going to be really important to you. Because, like, take for example, Bankwest and CBA have now reduced negative gearing as part of that. Now,
as the assessment.
Yep. So as soon as that happens, you think, well, some of the others might be open for business. That's all part of the APRA 10%. So they have to be in the know. They need to be the subject matter experts and totally up to date with credit policy. The ones who aren't are potentially going to recommend a lender that's going to cause them a bit of grief.
Mm.
So it's really important to understand that now more than ever, with the changes in credit policy from all the lenders, that you need to be able to shop around and find those second and third tier lenders who are going to do the deal, as opposed to, as long as you can afford it, you know, let's not get ourselves into too much debt. You know, make sure we get that borrowing power and the assets, the cash flow management right. Very important. So, you know, there's another one.
Let's how are we going for time? Let's go. Have you got one more?
Look, I reckon how do I describe this? Following the sheep, chameleon.
Mm.
Like, I think we're in a marketplace where it's that FOMO where everyone else is doing it. I might as well get into property investing, you know? So I think it's really important to understand. Oh, my mate bought one up the road, so I might buy one up the road with him as well. You know, no science to what they're doing, just following sheep mentality, chameleon, doing all of that type of thing. So, you know, that's an important one. Not staying the course.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, shifting strategies around
options, renovating, buy and sell, let's harvest the equity, let's pay down the debt, and then they just got no identity.
I talk about, you know, the sailing ship in the race. The more you tack, the slower you go, you know, and you don't build momentum. If you've got a good run, throw the spinnaker out there and let it, you know, fly down the coast. Don't necessarily keep tacking unless you don't have to.
Mm.
And if you haven't planned correctly, well, guess what? You're going to tack. Mm. Absolutely, you're going to tack. And that's costly.
Mm.
You know, difficult structures, aggressive tax strategies, all those types of things don't make sense to me. So I think from that point of view, that's where I'd
go. That's a ripper one. I think that's a good one to close out on because obviously last week was a highlight in my professional life to interview Jan Summers.
Yes.
So, and she is not a chameleon. She sticked.
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 Stuck.
Stooked.
Stooked. Sticked.
She stuck to her knitting. She knew exactly. Yeah. She bought in Brisbane. She didn't deviate from the plan. And she...
She learned along the way because she was a pioneer.
Mm.
But once she got the formula...
But when you talk to her, she says, I might be boring because my strategy hasn't changed in 45 years. No. It's like, we'll take that boring every day of the week, Jan. That's brilliant. So, all right, let's see. I wrote these down. So, number one, choosing a poor location. Number two, selling property too soon. Number three, overcapitalizing and thinking that renovation is the number one ticket to riches. Four, buying the wrong property and most notably buying properties that the banks don't like.
High density, medium density at the moment, crew. Keep away from them, please.
Beautiful. Number five, thinking property is a get-rich-quick scheme. Number six, poor loan structure. And number seven, being a chameleon, Ben. So there's some surefire ways for people to lose some cash when it comes to property investing. So well said, my friend. Seven ways to lose property in money.
Seven ways to lose property, lose money in property.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you're awake. So
very good.
All right, mate. Well,
terrific.
I'm going to do my life hack before we get to the penultimate.
We've been
building up to this. Mate, I hope it's good. For your sake, I hope it's good.
I love your life hacks. There's no distractions. Mate, that's a ripper.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did you get distractions out of your life. Yeah. Notifications. You want to have a look?
I believe you.
The only thing I get notifications on is news. That's it.
Yeah, well.
But everything else, off. I don't get emails, don't get anything. And I only look at it in the morning because I don't look at my phone.
I know. Yeah. Will Ho is one of our listeners. He won't like that because he and I are working on a project at the moment and I've turned off all the notifications. So he sends me an email. Have you seen that?
That's it. You can't do it all. You can't be distracted.
So my life hack today is last week I gave you 15 minutes back by turning off the notifications.
I've been looking forward to this one.
This week, what do you do with your 15 minutes, Ben? If you're not going to sit there and get distracted by the Facebook notification or the email that just came in.
Push-ups, maybe a bit of guitar, bit of guitar work.
There we go, mocking again. I love
not,
it.
It's That's not right. mocking.
Wait
it's
till I get to 100. Wait till I get to 100. Now,
I'm very proud of you, mate. It's well done. It's fantastic.
I don't know if you're being serious.
I am
so,
being serious.
This is a shout out to Sean Steele.
Right? Oh, yep. This is now, one of our listeners.
He texted me on the 13th of January.
Right.
So that was 39 days ago. And I'm just saying none of these are cash for comment. So all of these hacks I'm talking about, there's no affiliate relationship. Yep. Right? I'm not getting paid.
Yeah. Is he, what is he? What does he do?
Sean is CEO of a learning company, but it's not his business.
No, that's right.
Education and training business.
Oh, I like education and training.
No, but I mean, my hack isn't about his business.
Okay.
It's Blinkist.
Mm.
It's an app. You download it, right?
Blinkist?
Yes. Right. Now, I've tested this out with the team.
Yep.
And
your VA team? Yep. Buyers agents, yeah.
Pardon me talking while you're interrupting. So...
I'm giving him no flow at all. Sorry.
No flow at all. So in 39 days, I've read 18 book summaries.
Woo!
Remember you kept on saying we read Good to Great? Yes. I haven't read Good to Great, but I've read the book summary of Good to Great, and I now know about the Hedgehog Principle. Oh, I know all the discipline you need to have. I've got the takeaway. So, as you know, I'm not in the news cycle at all. I don't listen to the news. I don't read newspapers. No, you don't. I don't need any practice on negativity. To be honest, I'm going to find out about the major news anyway. I found out about the guy that drove down Bourke Street just because everyone was chatting about it. I found out about the
plane crash.
Without reading the news, listening to the... I know about that. So any major ones I hear anyway, being out of the news cycle. So what I do is when I've got a spare moment, I read a book summary. So for as long as it takes me to read two articles in the newspaper, I can have read a book summary. So there you go. 18 summaries in 39 days. So let me tell you some of the ones that I have read.
Please.
And some of these I've gone back and redid. I revisited The E-Myth. Revisited. That's just, like, anyone who's in business needs to... I read it, and bang, they're straight back into me. For me, Grain Brain, that's the health stuff.
Yeah,
good stuff. And Sean's a fellow Gaps family too, by the way. So okay,
very good.
Shout out to Sean. The Personal Kanban, Thinking Fast and Slow, The Code of the Extraordinary Mind, First Things First, The Richest Man in Babylon, Essentialism, Jab, Jab, Right Hook, Permission Marketing, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I've read 20 times, but I love summary it again. The Five Levels of Leadership, Good to Great. The Art of War. Have you read The Art of War?
Five Levels of Leadership is Jim Collins as well, isn't it?
No, it's...
Or maybe mine's Level 5 John Maxwell. Management. Okay, my apologies. Yeah.
The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I read it again.
Oh.
The Purple Cow. So this is when you have 15 minutes, folks, because you're no longer distracted on your phone. Here's a perfect example. I think I've told this on the podcast, but maybe not. Echuca. Andrew and I went to Echuca. We stayed there a few weeks. Did I tell this story?
That's right. It's a good one. Keep going.
You don't remember Ivis?
It's all about reinforcing it.
Yeah,
well, reinforce the message.
So I went. Remember when I went to Echuca, Ivis, and Andrea needed to buy a dress, and so we went shopping up and down the mall, and the guy at the B&B said, Echuca is probably arguably the best place in Victoria to go shopping, and I'm thinking, isn't that great? He's really talking up his town. And all of a sudden he goes, because there's a bench out the front of nearly every store in the main street of town. I'm thinking, oh, that's actually good. So when I got this, I found this out about 2 days before. I reckon I got through three book summaries whilst Andrea was...
enjoying yourself.
Having a great time. And then I got subbed in at the last minute.
Mate, that is awesome. So
that's my life hack.
It's called Blinkit.
Blinkist. Blinkist. It's downloadable. Costs you about $11 a month.
Right.
For these book summaries. There's 1,500 book summaries and they're adding 30 to 40 a month. I can't keep up, man.
Oh, wow.
I'm so pumped.
Gee, mate, that's awesome.
So
I love it.
Your challenge next week
is to read a book.
Tell me how many, because you get 3 days free trial, right?
I'll accept the challenge.
You accept the challenge?
Yeah.
All right, Ivis, you heard that.
Put it on my phone, Ivis. Can you put it on
So there you go, folks.
There's a couple of books that, yes, I'm trying to get through Tools of Titans at the moment from Tim.
You don't get through that. That's just
blows my mind, that content, how good that content is. All right, are we ready?
Yes.
What's my segment called again?
Did you know?
Did you know, everyone, you potentially heard it here first, that we have discovered 7 Earth-sized planets orbiting a nearby star, okay, of which they believe the 7-sized planets, mainly which could harbour life. Let's be honest here, if you heard it first, that there is a new planet system orbiting this dwarf star where there could be life on those planets.
Okay.
So it's talking about discovered, basically orbiting around the dwarf star in its own galaxy neighbourhood. There's a system of 7 planets orbiting a dwarf star 40 light years away. Only 40 light years away.
Richard Branson
like,
will be there
that's
before.
That's outrageous. That. Hmm. Like, you know, a light year is 300,000 kilometres a second.
Right.
So it's just...
that was good.
Oh, that's good. Now, they're talking about the inner 6 of these planets are rocky like Earth. Okay, 3 or more could harbour oceans of water, which is essential. You need liquid.
You need ocean views with real estate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So here's some new real estate agent markets. Ocean views.
Yeah.
We could probably franchise up there. Who knows? It could be a really amazing thing. So there is a very cool video that shows all this produced by NASA. Okay. And so where is it? I think it's the Aquarius, out in the Aquarius solar system. So it's very cool. But imagine that. There could be other life forms in our planet.
So this begs the question, You're doing this research. Is this part of your housing affordability talk at the show tomorrow?
Well, imagine if I said that. Hey, people relocate. Hey, look, you know, bit of vacant land, earth size, rocky water, very important. But there really is a very good video on it. So I'd love to get that up on the site, Ken Ivers. It's, incredible.
Well, I mean, Facebook page,
some of these pictures, actually, mate, they look like, seriously, look, have a look. No, that looks good. Like an earth planet.
Yeah, it does look
like
good.
They are pretty scary. So we could have life outside of the soul. Man, what are the religious people going to do? How are they going to weave that into their story? Anyway, we digress.
We might leave that one alone. So there we go, folks. And a very special shout out to Peter Meek from Chobani Yogurt. Mate, he dropped in an amazing amount of yogurt to the office during the week, which was terrific. So,
what's the name of your company? Little plug?
Chobani Yogurt.
Chobani.
Chobani. Again, no cash for comment there, folks. Just a very nice gesture from Peter.
And we don't need everyone to send stuff into us. We only have one fridge. Let's be honest. It's just
actually, I'll send the challenge out. If someone could send some GAPS friendly food, I'll take it.
Wait a minute.
See, there's a heckle coming.
There is the cash for comment, right? Right there.
Well, no, most people will go, what the dickens is GAPS friendly food? So they probably
might have to Google it.
Yeah, so, all right, folks, quick one, join the conversation, Insta, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, at The Property Couch, at Bryce Holdaway, at Ben Kingsley, AU. Anything else for you, Ben?
No, mate, all right, we've had a bit of fun. Sorry, yeah, I've jumped in a bit today, haven't I? Just sort of interrupted your flow, but...
Has that been any different from the other 104 episodes? All right, so until next week, Ben.
See you later.
See you later.